Learning words probably aids in this process, but is not strictly necessary. Still, the brain may provide context for memories by telling itself miniature stories, complete with setting, characters, and relationships. According to this idea, early childhood events occur at a time before we have developed enough narrative skills to tell the stories necessary for the formation of memories. No narrative context, no long-term memory. End of story. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by William Oram. I'm Yael Cassander.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designer of the Carle Foundation's Echo Building, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
In sports, the Chicago Bulls have waived forward Roger Powell. He played college ball at Illinois, and he'd hoped to earn a spot with the Bulls. Powell appeared in four preseason games, averaging 2.8 points and less than a rebound per game. Also today, the Bulls waived Michael Ruffin, who missed seven preseason games with an ankle sprain. Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney has agreed to a contract extension through June 2013. University of Illinois Chancellor Richard Herman says Delaney has been successful in developing media-related resources that have helped the athletic programs at Big Ten schools and the thousands of student-athletes they serve. Herman is the chairman of the Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors. Delaney is the fifth Big Ten commissioner since the conference was founded in 1896. He played college basketball at North California. Tampa Bay looks to even the best of seven World Series at a game apiece tonight when the Rays host Philadelphia for a second straight night. And Seve Ballesteros' brain tumor is cancerous, and the Hall of Fame golfer will undergo another operation tomorrow designed to relieve pressure on his brain and remove remaining parts of the malignant growth. That's a look at sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Furniture Lounge Consignment Gallery, 126 West Main Street in Urbana. Furniture Lounge Consignment Gallery accepts consignments of quality, gently used furniture and home decor. More information is available in the store or at 217-344-1500.
It's 242. Many people are just beginning to notice the debate over whether to draw up a new Illinois Constitution, a new state constitution for the state of Illinois. But the question will be right in front of voters' faces this fall. A referendum on whether to hold a constitutional convention comes up every 20 years in Illinois. And 2008 is the year. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on the pros and cons of rewriting the Illinois Constitution.
The Constitutional Convention question may not be whipping up much enthusiasm, but it did get several dozen people, mostly college students, to fill up a University of Illinois lecture hall last week for a debate on ConCon, as it's sometimes called. Local ConCon supporter John Bambanek is in the audience. He says that compared to the last such referendum in 1988, the future of the state constitution isn't getting much attention this year.
Well, I think there was certainly more funding that was spent for advertising in 88, both on the yes and no sides. This time, that money just simply hasn't been available to either side.
A lack of spending means you haven't been seeing many TV ads about the constitutional convention. But debates and forums on the issue have been held all over Illinois. On this day, Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn appears at two debates, the first one in Carbondale. At the U of I, Quinn repeats his arguments that a flawed state constitution has allowed state government to slide into unresponsiveness and gridlock.
The latest poll showed 82% of the people of our state feel our state is on the wrong track. It's not addressing issues like school funding and utility reform. And so how long do we have to wait? The idea of a constitution, it belongs to the voters, not to the office holders.
Quinn says if the vote is yes on the ConCon referendum, voters will elect delegates next year to hammer out a new state constitution. He's confident the new document will force the governor and legislative leaders to pay more attention to the public will. But Quinn's debate opponent, Kevin Semlow of the Illinois Farm Bureau, says a constitutional convention would be too expensive, take too long, and open up too much of the Constitution to rewriting, when only parts of it need fixing. He says the politicians tying up state government now could very well tie up a convention.
And that's what we're afraid of, is that we'll just see more deadlock. We'll see the messes currently in Springfield transferred from the current state capital over to the old state capital for two or three years. We don't need that now.
The old state capitol was the site of the last constitutional convention in 1968 and 69. Delegates elected to that convention worked for 9 months to produce the constitution we use now. Former state senator and comptroller Don Clark Netsch was one of the delegates.
In 1970, the belief that we needed to revisit the whole Constitution, that we just simply had to go back to the drawing board, was very widespread. You know, both political parties, the civic groups, business, labor, the media, practically anyone you could name. And it had been developing, well, really since the end of World War II, from about maybe 1947 on.
The 1870 Illinois Constitution was considered inflexible and out of date. The 1970 Constitution gives local governments more authority to issue bonds, grants home rule powers to many cities and counties, and, Netsch says, is a more workable document than the previous state constitution. But ConCon supporter John Bambanek says the changes in the 1970 state constitution led inevitably to its abuse.
Government considered itself too restricted to be able to function. So the Constitution was written to empower government to function in a way they thought was appropriate. The problem is that they opened the floodgates in a lot of ways and empowered government and officials so much that there aren't any meaningful checks.
Don Clark Netsch says Bambanek and others who want to change the Illinois Constitution should push their changes as individual amendments and vote in new lawmakers who support their views. But what exactly are these changes to the state constitution that ConCon supporters want? Well, if Pat Quinn had his way, Illinois voters would be able to do what California voters can do, put propositions on the ballot with the power to change state law and even remove elected officials from office. Those are two proposals Quinn brought up during the ConCon debate at the U of I.
I think if we adopted initiative, referendum, and recall, even at a limited level, let's say we had an ethics initiative in Illinois where we could put strong, tough ethics standards into our Constitution, then maybe people in Illinois wouldn't wake up every day and read the newspaper about some politician from our state either going to jail or coming home from jail.
Quinn also wants to change the Constitution to overhaul the state property tax and the way legislative districts are drawn in Illinois. So does John Bambanek, who says the fact that he and Quinn belong to different political parties makes little difference in the ConCon debate. Bambanek says ConCon supporters span the political spectrum.
Republicans, Democrats, moderates, Greens, Libertarians, we all generally agree on what we want in our Constitution and what we don't. It's a surprising amount of consensus as I've gone around the state. And, you know, it's not unknown that I'm a pretty conservative Republican, but I can walk in a room with progressives and they agree with what I say and say, yeah, those great ideas. We all agreed. Let's do it.
But where ConCon supporters see a chance to fix state government, opponents fear a constitutional convention could just make things worse. Many of these opponents agree that Illinois government isn't working well right now. They support at least some of the changes that Bambanek and Quinn advocate. Former Governor Jim Edgar, for instance, favors an education funding shift that lowers property taxes. But he's worried about what other changes might come through a constitutional convention.
We now have more extremes, both to right and left, and if those groups would get control of the convention, heaven knows what kind of constitution they would come back with. I think the current constitution's working very well. I don't think it's worth the risk. I think the problem is who we're electing on Election Day, and that's what people ought to concentrate on.
Some ConCon opponents fear for the safety of state pension systems covering state employees and teachers. They argue that convention delegates may remove language in the current Illinois Constitution that protects benefits from being diminished or impaired. That charge was made by the state teachers' retirement system in its latest newsletter. The system's board is on record opposing a constitutional convention. Lieutenant Governor Quinn contends such changes would never go through because the federal constitution forbids states from passing laws impairing the obligation of contracts, language which covers government pension plans.
The federal constitution, our United States Constitution, protects the pensions of every single person, public employee. That's a contract that can't be broken. My mother is 91 years old. She worked in a school district for over 33 years. Her pension is safe and sound.
ConCon opponents also argue that while a constitutional convention might do too much, it could also do too little, taking up months or years during which amendments to the Constitution by other means would be blocked. But ConCon supporters say those other means don't really exist. that it's been 16 years since the legislature last gave the voters a constitutional amendment to consider. They say they trust the people to elect responsible delegates who will draw up a new Illinois constitution with limited but needed changes. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
When presidential politics comes to town, it gives voters a chance to see party leaders up close. From stump speeches to private fundraisers, they're a big part of campaigns. But they can also be costly. Someone has to pick up the tab, and usually it's local taxpayers. Sean Crawford reports.
On July 25th of this year, President George W. Bush flew into the Peoria airport and was immediately whisked away to a private farm for an invitation-only event. It was a fundraiser for Republican congressional candidate Aaron Schock, a strictly political visit, open only to the 1,400 people who had paid $500 apiece to attend. But anywhere the president goes, so does the Secret Service. That demands local authorities also provide a level of protection. Police, fire, and even public works crews were called in at an estimated cost of about $38,000 to the city of Peoria. Soon after, the financial hit the town was forced to take garnered publicity. Though he first protested, eventually the candidate, Aaron Schock, decided he would dip into his campaign fund.
I have heard from quite a few of my supporters and quite a few constituents, and despite the fact that there's not a policy, there's not a precedent of a candidate being asked to pay for these expenses, I've decided to reimburse the city of Peoria for whatever expenses related to this event.
But not everyone agreed that was necessary. Peoria Mayor Jim Artis.
It's tough economic times. We have a tough budget coming up. But by no means do I believe that he's responsible for those. And so we appreciate it on one hand. On the other hand, if we were going to create a policy next week or in the coming weeks, I still don't think it would be appropriate to retroactively charge someone for something that we didn't have a policy on.
Artis and the Peoria City Council are talking about an ordinance that would deal with similar events in the future, but they've yet to decide what course to take. Only one Illinois community has such a law on the books, and it's facing a lawsuit over its policy. Winnetka in Cook County is being sued by a Democratic fundraiser who says the measure that requires the host of an activity to pay for any expenses the town incurs violates his right to freedom of speech and assembly. Catherine Janiga is the Winnetka village attorney. She sees it a different way.
The village, as a local government, is not allowed to spend money for support of political candidates. And when the village provides services without compensation for a political event, it, in effect, is supporting that candidate.
Janiga says Winnetka has other laws that also make sure the municipality is not left holding the bill. One was put in place when the movie Home Alone was being filmed there, as it required special round-the-clock city services. While the Winnetka lawsuit could prove to be a test case for other towns considering similar laws, some communities seem less concerned with recouping their costs after politicians' visit.
It is good to be back in Springfield. Feels like I'm coming home.
Springfield has hosted two large outdoor Barack Obama rallies. First, for the kickoff of his presidential campaign, then his announcement of a running mate. Both times, police and fire department overtime costs were racked up. The most recent event ran a tab of around $40,000. Springfield Mayor Tim Davlin.
I've heard a lot of mayor's conferences, a lot of big city mayors don't necessarily want to see the president in their town. They know what it does to their overtime budget, but we don't have that opportunity very often in the city of Springfield, and I have to say that it has already come back to us probably tenfold, and what we couldn't go out and buy that type of press. So
Davlin is a Democrat and Obama supporter. He says the city is putting together a bill for the Obama campaign, but he's unsure if it will be paid. Even though he backs Obama, Davlin says this issue has nothing to do with partisanship. President Bush came to Springfield for the 2005 dedication of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum. Secret Service asked for police help and for changes in the downtown area, including removal of several light poles. Davlin points out the city also covered those costs. I'm Sean Crawford.
Coming up on The World, some U.S. cities translate election ballots into Chinese characters. McCain has written, "Wheat, victory, kindness." Obama becomes profound horse. These transliterations capture the sound of the candidates' names, but it sounds like a bad idea to some election officials. Bilingual ballots, that and the day's global news coming up on the world this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Earth and sky.
So we all know that we need to sleep because, you know, when we wake up and we feel refreshed, we have the proof that sleep is doing something very important.
You're listening to sleep expert Chiara Cirelli of the University of Wisconsin. She believes we need sleep to refresh our synapses, which connect brain cells.
If you do not downscale synapses, the next day synapses are already too strong, too big, and they basically are saturated in their ability to learn. So going to sleep will allow you to downscale synapses in such a way that the next day you are fresh and ready to learn again.
Though all animals need sleep, Cirelli said, they don't all sleep in the same way.
Since different species, you know, from insects, fish, and rodents, etc., sleep in a very different way because they have a different brain anatomy, it suggests that perhaps the common ground that mediates the sleep function is at the cellular level.
But, Cirelli added, observing changes in brain cells between sleeping and waking in a living animal in real time is still a technical challenge. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for WILL comes from Sunsinger Wines and Spirits, hosting the 5th Anniversary Gala Tasting to benefit the new Carl Hart Center on Thursday, October 30th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the iConference Center across from Assembly Hall in Champaign. Featured will be over 300 wines, beers, and spirits, plus a silent auction. Tickets available at the door.
Here's the forecast for Illinois and Indiana, as prepared by meteorologist Daniel Pounder for Illinois and Indiana. Tonight in Illinois, cloudy with occasional rain. In Indiana, increasing cloudiness with showers moving in. Lows tonight ranging from 39 north to 50 in the far south. Tomorrow, cloudy with periods of rain and a few thunderstorms. Highs ranging from 51 in eastern Indiana to 57 in the far south. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy with periods of rain. The low 45. The wind from the east-southeast at 4 to 7 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain. The high 53. The wind from the south at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with showers. The low 44. Saturday, cloudy with occasional showers, the high 53. Saturday night, becoming partly cloudy, the low 41. Sunday, partly sunny, the high 50. The rain is beginning to show up on the radar in areas of southern Champaign County. For the most part, it is off to